This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Once again, Allah has given us the opportunity to meet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this gathering and benefit us with the knowledge that we're going to share with each other inshallah in the following few minutes. Inshallah, today we're speaking about the virtues of as-sadaqah and why don't you spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is full of ayat speaking about the virtues of giving and spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the books of sunnah likewise, there are dedicated chapters speaking about fada'il as-sadaqah, the virtues of giving in a charity. And a sadaqah is a word that covers both the voluntary and the obligatory charity. So for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Ayah 103 of Surah At-Tawbah. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take, so this is obligatory charity. Az-zakah ya'ani, sadaqatan. Az-zakah is named sadaqah, in order to purify them and sanctify them with it. Then make dua for them, since your prayer will bring peace of mind and tranquility or comfort for them. Then also in ayah number 60 of Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Speaking in details about the categories of the recipients of al-zakat. Al-fuqara, wal-masakeen, and the laborers who are working to collect and to dispense the zakat, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, the wayfarers, etc. Lakin, we're speaking today about the voluntary charity, which the person gives extra beyond the mandatory zakat. Or even if he's not required to give zakat, such as if the person does not possess the nisab, person is not rich, does it mean that he doesn't give any charity? No. Every person is encouraged to give any charity. It doesn't matter how much. The quantity does not really matter. What matters is, from halal, with sincerity, your charity will be accepted. That is a charity. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah, the Almighty, is good and He only accepts that which is good. A person may give in a charity a very little sadaqah, maybe a date or even lesser. A dirham or a dinar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it in His own right hand. فَيَقْبَلُهَا اللَّهُ بِيَمِينِهِ ثُمَّ يُرَبِّيهَا لِأَحَدِكُمْ ثُمَّ يُرَبِّيهَا لَهُ كَمَا يُرَبِّي أَحَدُكُمْ فَلُوَّهُ. And He will keep growing this little sadaqah as one of us is taking care of his young horse, if you are a farmer, until it grows up, until it becomes as huge as the mountain of Uhud. While originally it was what? A dinar, a dirham, provided it was earned lawfully from halal. And it is given with ikhlas, with sincerity, not to show off. The ayah that precedes Ayatul Kursi right away, which is ayah number 254, because Ayatul Kursi is 255, Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls on the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا. Spend. It refers to spending in a charity, في صدقات. But there is a very important notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah. أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ. Spend out of what we provided for you. So the rizq that you have or you possess, you are just a mu'taman, a person who's entrusted to look after it, to spend it and dispend it the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. So he said, spend from my money, from my rizq, I shall give you more. أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ لَا بَيْعٌ فِيهِ وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Today, you can invest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by giving in a charity, because your charity will be accepted and you will be rewarded for, as we'll explain. But on the Day of Judgment, neither money, nor wealth, gold, nor silver, nothing would avail you an aunt against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا شَفَاعَةٌ. Nothing would help. Not your relationship to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even would help. وَلَا شَفَاعَةٌ. There will not be any intercession except for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the honor of a shafa'ah. So why delay? Why postpone? Right now, أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ لَا بَيْعٌ فِيهِ وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا شَفَاعٌ وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ لَا بَيْعٌ فِيهِ وَلَا خِلَالٌ. So this ayah is similar to the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah with an extra information, which is yunfiqu sirran wa alaniyatan, to spend in private and in public, to disclose the sadaqah sometimes and to keep it secret and to conceal it some other times. When and why shall we give in public, and why should we hide our sadaqah? Also, inshallah, we will be discussing this. An-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, which is collected by al-Bukhari wa Muslim, his sahihayn, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ اللَّهِ. Not a single one of you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to him directly, without tarjuman, without an interpreter, on the Day of Judgment. Whether your mother tongue is Urdu or Farsi, English, French, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to you without turjuman. فَيَنْظُرُ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ فَيَنْظُرُ أَشْأَمَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ فَيَنْظُرُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the Day of Judgment, the person would look to his right hand side, he will find nothing but his deeds. He will look to his left hand side, he will find nothing but his deeds. Everything will abandon everything. Everyone will disown everyone. Everyone will disassociate himself from everyone and everything. Only your deeds will remain with you, whether good or bad. فَيَنْظُرُ عَنْ أَمَامِهِ. Then he will look right in front of him and he will see nothing but the fire of hell. So al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the conclusion, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Protect yourselves against the fire of hell even by giving as little as a half date. التَّمْرَة, the khajur, the date. You split it and you give half of it in a charity, that could be your salvation on the Day of Judgment. You never know. Do not hesitate, nor belittle any good deed. Don't say, what would it do? It can do a lot. It can protect you, and guard you, and save you from the fire of hell. Do not belittle any good deed. Similarly, do not belittle any bad deed. We will be speaking, inshallah, about some of the virtues of as-sadaqah to encourage one another to give fi sabilillahi azza wa jal. We do not have a specific project that we're raising fund for, by the way. The only project we have is to protect ourselves against the miserliness and the human nature of greed, of taking ourselves out of this shell into freedom. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. One who is protected and saved again is his own covetousness, he is a truly successful one. And we mentioned in the hadith of Abu Hurairah fi al-Sahih yesterday that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّينَارِ وَعَبْدُ الدِّرْهَمِ وَعَبْدُ الْخَمِيصَةِ وَعَبْدُ الْقَطِيفَةِ. There are people who, through their actions and behavior, they enslave themselves to money. So by giving this money, not entirely, not your full position, but giving out this money freely for the sake of Allah, you free yourself from slavery. You become a free man. You possess the money, not the other way around. Not that the money or the wealth possesses you and controls you. The first and the foremost virtue of as-sadaqah, or giving in a charity, it protects you against Allah's anger. Extinguishes Allah's anger. That is in the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, صَدَقَةُ السِّرِّ تُطْفِئُ غَضَبَ الرَّبِّ. Especially the sadaqah which he gives in private, secretly, it extinguishes Allah's anger. It protects you against His wrath. It erases sins. One of the most important benefits of as-sadaqat, cleaning up the mess. The many sins that we make and we may not pay attention to, as-sadaqah automatically will take care of that. وَالصَّدَقَةُ تُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيئَةِ كَمَا يُطْفِئُ الْمَاءُ النَّارِ. As in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is, by the way, the 29th hadith in the 40 Nawawi hadith, As-sadaqatu tutfi'u al-khati'ah. Giving in charity extinguishes the sins, because sins will bring punishment, bring fire. The same way that the water extinguishes fire, the sadaqah or the charity will put out the fire of the sin. Tutfi'u al-khati'ah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Protect yourselves and avoid the fire of hell even by as little as a half day. Furthermore, there is one day, which this day will be equal to the length of 50,000 years. مما تعدون, of our time. That is the day which will precede the judgment, the day of resurrection, when every creature will be resurrected from the very first to the very last, stand up for the whole time waiting for the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pass, to start the judgment. 50,000 years. The sun will draw very near, people will be melting, sweating, and some people will be drowned in the sweat. Some people's sweat will be up to their navel, or up to their chest, up to their nose, based on what? Based on the good deeds that they used to do in this life. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every person will be sheltered in the shade of his sadaqah on that day. So if your sadaqah was abundant, you'll have plenty of shade to protect you against the heat of the sun. So if you want to expand the shade and enlarge it, it's your call. If you want to make it just a little bit, do not spend. في سبيل الله. Be cheap. Then you will have no shade. In the hadith, which is a very fascinating hadith, many people pass by and they think, well, it doesn't concern us because we cannot be one of the seven. The seven people whom Allah will shelter under the shade of His throne on the Day of Judgment. You know the hadith, right? سَبَعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهُ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. On that day, which is 50,000 years of our time, with this excessive heat of the sun and the sweat, people would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to dismiss them even if they go to hell, assuming that hell may be better than the standing of the day.
Can you imagine that day when people rush to ask Adam alayhi salam for the shafa'ah? He will deny it. Say, nafsi, nafsi. They go to Nuh, to Ibrahim, to Musa, to Isa. Everybody will disown everybody. Everybody will say, I'm worried about myself. There comes one of the seven categories which can provide every one of those who are sitting here right now with a shelter and a shade on the day on which there will not be any shade but his. In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. And a man who gave in charity secretly in such way that his left hand doesn't know how much his right hand has been given. يعني he made sure that his sadaqah was given in a very secret way. His wife doesn't know about it. His parents, his children, he doesn't talk about it. He just stuffed his hand in his pocket, took whatever was there, and he gave it in charity. His left hand doesn't know because he didn't count. He just took it and gave it away. Don't you think that this is a very easy offer? It is. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, رَجُلْ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَ. He didn't specify. He didn't say the sadaqah was 100 grains or a diamond ring. He didn't say any of that. He said sadaqah. A sadaqah covers even a date or even a half date. Right? So basically, the gift which I'm presenting to you brothers and sisters today is, let's all be amongst the seven who will be eligible to be sheltered on that day. Simply, tonight before you go to sleep, find a way of giving in a charity. Put your hand in your pocket and take whatever is there, and you don't even know how much is it. I know that some people make sure that they put all the change in the pocket. So they, beforehand they know that they're getting rid of the change, of the coins. Do business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust them. Just put your hand in your pocket and put it in the masjid. Masjid under construction. Syrian refugees. Our brothers in Burma. Here or there. There are many people who are in need. Right away, give in any of these avenues of giving in a charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowing. You'll be one of them. So that will provide you with the shelter and the shade on the most horrible and grievous day. You know how much money we spend every year on doctors, clinics, and medications. And obviously, whenever the physician asks you about your job and he figures that you're working for an oil company, he gives you a different prescription than if you're working as a driver or as a gatekeeper. You know, same medicine, but different companies, different brands, and different price, of course, times factor. One person, whenever he gets sick, he went to the doctor. He got the prescription. And he goes to the pharmacy. He wants to get the prescription. He asks first, how much is it? So the pharmacist says, 70 bucks. Say, thank you, sir. And he steps out. He doesn't buy the medications. Why? He goes out and he gives us $70 in a charity. And he's cured. Obviously, I'm not asking you to do the same. Okay? But what I'm saying is, these are different levels of how some people truly trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He delivers. It depends on how much you trust Allah, you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you believe Him. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, دَاوُوا مَرْضَاكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. Treat your sick ones and loved ones by giving in a charity. You spend tremendous amount of money on treating your chronic ailment. What about giving in a charity with this intention? Finding a poor person who's sick and buying him the medication. It would ward off the disease from you, your house, and your family. A man came to Abdullah ibn Mubarak, one of the great predecessors and righteous ones, and said, I have an ulcer in my knee. It keeps bleeding for 7 years now. It doesn't want to heal. I tried all kind of medications. The bleeding never stops. And it's in the knee. So his mobility has become very limited. He said, well, if this is the case, there is one thing you need to try. Said, I want you to find somewhere where people are in need for water and dig a water well. Perhaps when the water gushes forth from this well, the blood will stop gushing forth from your knee. Soon as he did so, he recovered. Dawu mardakum bis-sadaqa. Dawu mardakum bis-sadaqa. Not only the physiological and the physical ailments or diseases, but also the psychological. The psychological ailments, depression, going through a very tough time, give any charity and you will see wonders. Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تُلَيِّنَ قَلْبَكَ أَوْ تَلْيِينَ قَلْبِكَ فَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينَ وَامْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ. There are a couple of things which if you do, it will soften your heart. It will make you feel better. It will give you what's known as انشراح. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Open your heart. It will remove your worries and give you a relief. What is it? He said, أَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينَ. Feed a poor person sitting in KFC eating and ordering second and third, and the kids are having fun, and you see somebody is looking from the window. We see this in Hajj. You know? He's dying to have a bite. You can as well turn around and act like you haven't seen him. Right? But if you share, and you give him a little bit, or even order a special order for him, wallahi, it will taste better in your mouth. And it will give you a relief. Maybe there was a friction between you and your mastura. It will be solved. A problem between you and your children will be taken care of because of the virtues of giving in charity. Many times we eat, and when we leave the restaurant, we're shy to say, I'll take the rest to go. You know what happens if you don't take it? It will end up in the trash, especially in rich countries, right? A lot of people do that. Instead, we have to make a point. Can I take it to go? And once you step out, there are a lot of people in every country. You know, in America, which may think that it is a richest country, I've seen a lot of people eating from the trash cans, looking for any leftover, picking up the food from between the diapers and whatever, because they're starving. You know? So instead of letting them or forcing them to pick up the food from the trash cans or the dumpsters, take it in a nice bag to go. While driving around, you see a gatekeeper, a cleaning man, a janitor, and say, take this. It's a sadaqah. And you're not paying anything for it. It is your intention who made it a sadaqah. Do not be shy to do that. Also, because of the sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wards off many calamities. Masa'ib, which were about to befall the person. This is in the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that Yahya ibn Zakariya alayhi salam gathered Bani Israel in Jerusalem and he gave them a few advices. One of the advices he said, وَأَمُرُكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. I command you to give any charity. Because this is similar to somebody who was caught as a prisoner of war. The enemies captured him. And they brought him to chop off his head. They were about to execute him. So he offered them, how much money would you take and let me go? So they made a deal. And he paid them whatever they wanted of the ransom and they let him go. He said, a sadaqah is a ransom. It protects you from calamity that was about to befall you one day. My son was only like you know, a few months old, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me one day, and I decided to visit all my relatives and to do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said of upholding the ties of kinship and taking gifts and so on. Once I entered the house, I heard a noise on the stroller or whatever. He was trying to walk or crawl, and he fell off the stairs, and he took all the stairs. When I heard the screaming and the cry, I said, he's definitely dead. Long stairs. So we rushed to check on him, and wallahi, he was not touched the least. Nothing. Right away, I said to myself, wallahi, this is the virtues of silatul rahim and perhaps as-sadaqah. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. It protects you and your family against calamities. You see somebody who doesn't drive. He's going to the masjid, you give him a ride. You give him a lift. Somebody who's in need for your assistance. So perhaps Allah will protect you from having a flat tire, from a car collision, from a calamity which was about to befall you, but because of your good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you. He is the one who decreed this in the first place, and He is the one who overwritten it because of your sadaqah or your righteous deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Now we are rising up into a higher level, which is, we're not only giving away the leftover and the worn out clothes or the torn ones. No, we are making sure to give in charity from whatever we like. Put yourself in the position of the recipient. Would you like to get the things which others were about to throw away or something reasonable? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, ayah number 92, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. You will never attain piety and righteousness unless if you spend for سبيل الله of that which you like, of that which you prefer. You want to keep it, but you knew that somebody is most in need for it, and you have other things, so you give it away. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatsoever you give of anything, the word shay, anything, again, go back to have date. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, advising women, لا تحقرن جارة إلى جارتها شيئا ولو كفر سنشاء. Whenever a neighbor gives a gift to her neighbor, she should not be picky and say this is something that they were about to throw away and nobody would take it. No, if somebody is giving you a gift, appreciate it. Whether you use it or not, thank you so much. The least is to say, Jazakallahu khayran. Thank you so much. So say to women, if your neighbor gave you something as little as farsanisha. What's farsanisha? Do you guys eat pie? Who eats pie? The hoof of the sheep. Normally, people just throw it away. So if somebody gave you something as little as a hoof of the sheep, if this is what they can afford, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Anything that you give في سبيل الله, within your capacity, Allah is fully aware of it. Allah will reward you for it, provided it was earned lawfully, and it was given with sincerity. Do you know that every morning, ما من يوم يصبح فيه العباد إلا وينادي ملكان. Every morning, there are two angels who make dua. ينزلاني, the two angels who descend to make dua. One of them would say, اللهم أعط منفقا خلفا. You say, oh Allah, give the one who spends في سبيلك, and you say, give him a replacement. Give him better than what he spent. Give him better what he spent than what he spent. And the other one will say, وَأَعْطِ مُمْسِكًا تَلَفًا. And give the one who's miser and tight, he thinks because he's tight and he doesn't spend, his wealth will increase. No. Rather, the angel is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to destroy his wealth. وَأَعْطِ مُمْسِكًا تَلَفًا. One day, and this is relating to yesterday's lecture about riba and riba destroy your home, and the hadith which has said in it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man taraka shay'an lillahi abdalahu Allahu khayran minhu." I was giving a similar lecture in America, and there was many doctors attending. There was one of them who had purchased a house from riba. His house was the biggest and the most beautiful house in town. It was like a palace. He had a house before, but you know, he wanted to expand. He didn't have enough cash, so he bought a house with a mortgage with riba. His wife, when she heard the lecture, she said, "I'm not going to enter this house anymore. I'm going back to our old house. This is like hell for us." You know what the guy did? What the doctor did? He went and he signed up and he exchanged his retirement plan. And you know, if you collect your retirement plan in advance, you lose, you know what? You lose 30 to 40%. 30 to 40%. If your retirement plan is like $1 million and you collect it a few years before it is due, you only collect 600,000. In addition to, you end up paying another that much tax, so it's like half of it. You know what he did? He cashed his retirement plan. And he settled his debt with the bank. He said, "I don't want to live in a house for riba, because I just heard this is haram." There were other doctors there who didn't care the least. They said, "This is America, yo, and you know, we live like everybody else." Subhanallah, within a few days, the stock market crashed, and those who had their money, their retirement plan was invested with other funds and stocks, they lost everything. And this guy was the only one who benefited out of his retirement plan. This is just an example to show us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has His own ways of providing for us and benefiting us. So the other doctors who, or the other people who cared not, and they said, "We live in America and this is the 21st century and there is no haram and halal in business," and so on, they lost everything. They turned poor. And this guy, by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his business grew bigger and bigger, and now the house is free in a mortgage. And mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. Why? Because he chose to do business with Allah. When you do business with any person, the business is subject to gain or lose, to prosper or to bankrupt, except when you do this business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is 100% profitable. And the profit is not 5% or 10% or 20%. No. It's way much bigger than that. Uthman ibn Affan, there was a time when there was a drought, a year of famine, and people were starving in Medina. Uthman ibn Affan was a millionaire, radiallahu anhu. So he had a caravan coming in his name from Asham, loaded. Hundreds of camels loaded with food, with raisin, with wheat, with everything. So the merchant rushed to Uthman, knowing that the caravan had attended Al-Madinah, have arrived, and they offered him, "Ya Uthman, we'll give you that much, 10%. He said, "No, well, somebody else offered me much more than that. Make it 20, 30. 40, 50, said, "I still have somebody who offered me more than that. He will pay me for every dinar 10. He said, "Look, no one can afford that. We're out of business." He said, "But yes, I have someone who offered me that. Allah said, Al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha," and he gave it all away. He gave it all away. Why? He's doing business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially at a time where people needed it most. You You know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu before in a similar incident? He said, "Ma darra Uthman, ma fa'ala ba'da al-yawm." No matter what Uthman does afterward, he's one of the dwellers of heaven. He saved. He purchased his freedom. He ransomed himself. He freed himself from the fire of hell. By what? By the money which Allah provided me with. You know, you gotta be smart. You gotta understand that. If you have a half million right now, let's say you have a half million. Okay? How good is that? It's good, yeah, definitely. But what if you die right now? Well, you don't have it anymore. What if anything happens, because people who save their money in the banks, those who kept $10 million in the banks in America, when many banks bankrupted, the banks bankrupted because of the mortgage crisis, in America, the policy is maximum the government will reimburse you up to $100,000. So even if you have saved in the bank $10, $20, $30, or $1 million, the maximum you will be compensated with is $100,000. That's it. There is no security, because this is life, except when you do business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. في صحيح الإمام مسلم أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whilst a man was walking in the plain in the desert, he heard a very strange sound. He looked up and he heard that the sound was coming from the cloud. The sound says, اسقي حديقة فلان. He was so amazed. What is this? It says, irrigate the garden of so and so. What garden? This is right in the middle of nowhere. And this is like a poor cloud. Then he said, all of a sudden, the cloud shifted its course. So he followed the cloud as somebody is tailgating somebody, until the cloud came somewhere and it dropped its rain. And the water fell in a harra, in a solid area, among the rocks, and it made its way in a channel, like it was made naturally for this reason. So he followed the water in the channel, in the middle of what? Nowhere, in the desert, until the water reached a garden in the middle of the desert, full of the palm trees and so on. So he entered into the garden and he found somebody was sitting with comfort, has his spade, and he was redirecting the water, once to the right, once to the left, and one here and there to water the garden. He said, "Assalamu alaikum." He said, "Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." With comfort. He said, "May I know your name?" He said, "My name is so and so." He said, "Subhanallah." He said, "May I ask you, why did you ask me about my name?" He said, "That is the same name I heard in the cloud. Isqi hadiqata fulan. This cloud which dropped this water which you're irrigating your garden from, I heard your name, was given a command to water your garden to the cloud." He said, "Well, since you heard it, I'd like to inform you. This garden of mine, whenever I harvest it, I divide the harvest, the fruits, into three portions. One portion right away, I give it away. One third, I give it in a charity. One third, I keep it for my family and myself. And the other third, I reinvest it in the garden. Because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends me the water." Subhanallah, who forms the sahab, the clouds? Allah. Allah الذي أنزل من السماء ماء فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who orders the water to accumulate, to evaporate, then to accumulate, then to condensate, then to fall down somewhere, or to derive certain areas from the water. The water which He gives life with, He can cause people to die with this water. In Texas, there was a drought. While Texas is known of oil, but when there was a drought and there was no water, people deserted Texas. They fled Texas. The real estate value was zero. Nobody was interested in staying in Texas. Why? It was dry. Okay. One day, when there was a hurricane, Katrina and Sandy, Katrina and Rita and so on, when the water was rising, it killed people. So no water kills, and plenty of water kills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the water with measure to provide whomever He wills according to His will. If this is the case and He's the controller of that faucet, then we should ask from Allah, not from the faucet. We should do business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not with a commissioner, with somebody who claims to be, he too is seeking a provision. He too is seeking a provision. Hatim al-Asam, a righteous man and a righteous scholar, one day decided to go for Hajj. He had saved some money to go for Hajj. So he gathered his family, wife and children and said, he's a great scholar, very known in Iraq. He said, I'm going for Hajj. So his children said, and who's going to feed us? Except for his daughter. She said, Father, go. May Allah bless you. You are not the provider. Rather, it is Allah who provides. مَا عَهِدْنَاكَ رَزَّاقًا إِنَّمَا عَهِدْنَاكَ أَكَّلًا. We do not know that you are the provider. You know, you are receiving the provision like everybody else. So he sat out and he went for his Hajj. The Emir, the governor, the prince was marching down amongst his soldiers and the advisors and the ministers, the wuzara. And subhanallah, in this particular area, he was so thirsty. He had a dry mouth and said, give me some water. So they rushed to the nearest house. They knocked on the door. They said, give us some water for the Emir. So they gave him water. The Emir drank the water and said, Allah, subhanallah, this water tastes so good. Where did he get this water from? Said, this is from the house of the great scholar Hatim al-Asam. Said, that's why. Let me thank him by myself. He said, unfortunately, he's not there. Where is he? Where is he at? He said, he sat out for Hajj. He said, well, since he went for Hajj, maybe his family is in need. So he took out a sack full of gold. And he threw it in their house and he said, whoever likes the Emir, let him do like the Emir. So all the ministers had to follow the Emir and imitate him. Everybody was taking a sack of gold or silver, willingly or unwillingly, until there was like a pile of money, of gold and silver, in the house of the Hatim al-Asam. So when he left, the kids, the boys were celebrating. We've become rich forever, millionaires. But the girl was crying. They said, what's wrong with you? Whenever we're crying, you're happy. And whenever we're happy, you're crying. What is the matter with you? She said, subhanallah, a human being, an eater like us, looked at us with mercy and they have made us rich forever. What if Allah looks at us with His mercy? We have to perceive this concept as that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is Ar-Razzaqu Dhul Quwwati Al-Mateen. He is Ar-Razzaqu Dhul Quwwati Al-Mateen. If you study the hadith pertaining the virtues of sadaqah, I bet you will end up paying your entire money in a charity. If you have an open heart, if you do business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to profit, if you want your business to grow and you want your money to increase, definitely you're going to do that. And that's why in a sound hadith, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who's the Prophet's uncle and meanwhile cousin, in the farewell Hajj, he got very sick. And they thought that he's going to die. The Prophet ﷺ heard about him, so he went to visit him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, as you see, I'm dying. I have a lot of money. He was very rich. And I only have one daughter. I want to give away all my wealth. He said, no, don't. He said, two-thirds? He said, no, don't. He said, one-third? He said, no, that's too much. He said, what about one-third? He said, okay, and it's still a lot, but one-third is okay. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَتْرُكَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَا خَيْرًا لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ تَتْرُكَهُمْ فُقَرَاءَ عَالَةً يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ. It is better to leave some money for your heirs, your family, better than leaving them poor and broke and have to ask or beg from people. And furthermore, ya Sa'd, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِيَ بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَكَ بِهَا أَجْرًا حَتَّى مَا تَضَعُهُ فِي امْرَأَتِكَ. Some people think the sadaqah necessarily has to be given abroad, to give it to somebody who's distant to you, is not related to you. La, 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 la. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us with a very precious meaning. He said, any spending that you spend even at home, buying food for your family, buying clothes for your kids, paying the tuitions for their school, this is fi sabilillah. And you'll be rewarded for that exactly as sadaqah, provided it is earned from halal. Hatta al-luqma, even the bite which you put in your wife's mouth. You say, honey, take this from me, this is a sadaqah. So that have changed the whole concept of sadaqah and made us understand as long as we earn lawfully, whatever we spend, even what we buy for our family members, for our children, this is also sadaqah and this is fi sabilillah. And if somebody dies and he left some money to be inherited to righteous heirs, that's also fi sabilillah and he will be rewarded for it as well. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith which is collected by Imam Muslim, ما نقصت صدقة من مال. يعني given in a charity will never decrease such money. Rather, it will grow it. It will increase it. And in one hadith he had to swear. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاثة أقسم عليهم. I swear to Allah to the validity of three things. One of them is, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مَنْ صَدَقَهُ. One's wealth would never, ever decrease, experience any depreciation due to giving fi sabilillah. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, this has been tried all the time because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you give, the more you get. I'm not talking about only the hasanat and the good deeds in the hereafter. No, I'm talking also here. The more you give, the more you get. Look at it this way. Somebody who's very tight and stingy. Subhanallah, he doesn't even leak. And when it comes to the zakah during Ramadan, he reviews the calculation with his accountant over and over and over. You sure it's 2,500, not 24? Maybe 2450. It's very tight. From another door, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the money from him. His son gets sick and he goes to a doctor, then the third and the fourth, and he keeps paying. While somebody else who's giving and assisting the poor and the needy and helping this person, Allah protects him. For a whole year, not a single family member of his had to go to the doctor. No one got even flu. Why? Barakah. This is a barakah which no one understands or perceives except those who've tried it. Those who do business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day I had a billionaire who was talking, I was giving a halqa and he was talking, he said, subhanallah, you know, I have ordered like a special Mercedes, you know, to fit me and so on with special features. He said, but I don't enjoy it. I said, why? He said, because I don't sit in the driver's seat. I sit back and my driver is enjoying it. He's enjoying all the massagers, enjoying all of the good things, the luxury which I ordered, you know, and I'm sitting in the back seat. So a person may be poor, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala casts happiness in his heart. He makes his life happy. And a person may be extremely rich and he doesn't even smile. He's always overwhelmed with worries. You want to be relieved? You want to have some fun? You want to enjoy your life? Instead of taking untidy persons, give any charity. Ask your driver whom you give 500 bucks every month, only 500. You go to dine in any restaurant and you spend 500 in a single dinner or 1,000. You expect somebody to live for a whole month on 500 and he has to save out of that and send back home. Look into those people with mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring happiness into your heart and into your family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not only reward double and triple and 10 times. La. Number one, the least in your paycheck is 10 times more. That is the least. What about the 700 thingy that's in Surah Al-Baqarah? Yeah. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَلَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. So the 700 is not the maximum. Rather, there is beyond that. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Allah multiplies the reward beyond that from ever He wills. إِنَّ الْمُصَّدِّقِينَ وَالْمُصَّدِّقَاتِ وَأَقْرَضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعَفُ لَهُمْ وَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ كَرِيمٌ. The charity will be double, the reward for the charity will be double and multiplied, and for them there will be a noble reward, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. In the hadith which I mentioned earlier, ثَلَاثَةٌ أُقْسِمُ عَلَيْهِمْ, the charity will never decrease any person's wealth, rather it will increase it. This is a hadith which is narrated by Abu Kabshat al-Anmari radiyallahu anhu في سنن التلمذي. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأُحَدِّثُكُمْ حَدِيثًا فَحْفَظُوا. I'm gonna tell you a hadith, memorize it. Not just memorize it by the heart, comprehend it, understand it, ponder its meaning, try to act upon it. إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لِأَرْبَعَةِ نَفَرٍ. Everyone in this life is one of four people. Number one, a man whom Allah blessed with wealth and religious understanding. So he knows that this wealth which has been given to him is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he knows Allah has a right in that wealth. The poor have rights in this wealth. Zakah and sadaqah and so on. So he takes care of every right. Such person, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَهُوَ بِأَفْضَلِ الْمَنَازِلِ. That is the highest ranking before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the best of the best. The second is a person whom Allah blessed with the religious understanding and knowledge, but he doesn't have the wealth. So he looks at the person who is blessed with both and he says, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي مَالِ فُلَانٍ لَعَمِلْتُ فِي مَالِي مِثْلَ مَا عَمِلْ. If I have the same positions, I would have done the same or even more. فَهُمَا فِي الْأَجْرِ سَوَاءٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because of his good intention, even though he doesn't have, even though he didn't spend, but he says, if I have, I would have done the same or even more, he said, they will be the same as far as their reward. They will receive the same reward because of the good intention. The third, a man whom Allah blessed with wealth. He doesn't have religious understanding. He doesn't have the religious knowledge. So he spends his wealth in vain. Nightclubs, he drinks. Yeah, he goes to Europe in the summer and he wastes his money here and there. And when it comes to charity, he doesn't recognize any of the huquq. Such person is the worst. But there is even somebody who is even worse than him. The fourth category. A man who has been deprived from wealth and the religious knowledge. Both. So when he compares himself to others, he says, I wish I had the same like such and such. Whom? Number three. Who has wealth and he spends his wealth in vain. He says, wow, if I have the same, I would buy a convertible Mercedes. I would make sure I would have one girl next to me. And I would drink. I would do this. I would do that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَهُمَا فِي الْوِزْرِ سَوَاءٌ. They get the same penalty, the same punishment, even though he didn't have nor did he do anything. He didn't get to go to Las Vegas, he didn't go to gamble, he didn't go to drink. But because of his intention, he wanted to be like this person, okay? You like him. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So even the poor people can be rewarded for a sadaqah without giving any. Very interesting incident happened during the life of the Prophet ﷺ. When the poor companions, I want to use the word protested, but it may not be befitting. Rather, they got together before the Prophet ﷺ and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we have an issue. He said, what is the matter? He said, our brothers, the rich companions, have harvested all their work. They didn't save anything for us. He said, how is that? He said, Ya Rasulullah, we pray, they pray too. We fast, they fast too. We do good deeds, they do the same. But they have money they can give in a charity, and we know about all the virtues of the sadaqat, and we're poor, we're broke. We cannot compete with them. Look at their concern. The Prophet ﷺ said, well, let me guide you to something that if you do, you can beat them as far as their word. They said, sure, what is it? He said, whenever you finish your prayer, make tasbih 33 times. Tahmid 33 times. And takbir 33 times and say, huh? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. This is 100 times. That is better than any spending. And no one can compete with you on the day of judgment as far as hasanat if you stick to that. They were very delighted. They get the same reward without giving any charity because they don't have. Soon they return again a few days later. They protested. Ya Rasulullah said, what is the matter? He said, our rich brothers heard about the deal and they started doing it. They said, هَذَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is Allah's bounty. He gives it to whoever He wants. What I'm trying to say, look at the nice competition. Nice competition. Competition in what field? In the field of building up a real asset. An everlasting investment. A permanent win and gain. SubhanAllah. This is the kind of competition. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, لا حسد إلا في اثنتين. Envy is prohibited, except in two cases. One who's been given religious knowledge and he says the Quran beautifully, so people may say, I wish I can be like him, or my son can be like him. This is good. And the second, a man who's been given plenty of wealth, so he spends in a charity right and left. So the poor people are allowed to say, I wish I was like him. I would have done the same like him. Because they will get the same reward. As-sadaqah is one of the greatest means of purification for one's wealth. You know, nowadays, as you spoke yesterday, there are many things that may cause shubuhat or doubts in our earning. Especially those who are in trade and business. Maybe there are some errors, some drawbacks, some mistakes in the calculation. You made an oath, you told the customer that this is like the best merchandise and it's not the best, something like that. So what will purify this wealth from these impurities is giving in a charity, right and left. SubhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, when he said to Anas, If I have a mountain of gold, I would like to keep it for 3 days. Rather, I would like to spend it all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was our role model. So he's encouraging us to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And meanwhile, remember what I said to Sa'd, you don't have to spend your entire wealth, nor two-thirds, or one-half, or even one-third. But make sure that you pay your due zakah, and if there is any errors, give extra, and give in charity on a daily basis. In the hadith, especially if the sadaqah is joined with fasting, this is the best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Abu Hurairah, fi Sahih Muslim, when he said, Who's fasting today? And Abu Bakr said, I am fasting. Who followed the janazah? He said, I did. Who visited a sick person? He said, I did. Who fed a miskin today? Fed and fasting. He said, I did. He said, ما اجتمعنا في امرئ إلا أدخلناه الجنة. A person who do these activities in one day shall enter paradise. That is sufficient to make him enter al-Jannah. And this is Abu Bakr, whom when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of judgment, one who did a couple of righteous acts will be called upon to enter al-Jannah. He said there are gates for fasting people. There are gates for al-mutasaddiqeen. There are gates for al-mujahideen. And there are gates for each righteous deed. There is a specific gate. The gate itself will call upon the dwellers of Jannah to enter it from this gate. Those who used to give any charity a lot will say, where are al-mutasaddiqeen? Come and enter from me. Please come. The gate will invite the people to enter al-Jannah through it. You know what's really interesting? Obviously, whenever you hear this hadith, first you say, well, to me, I don't really care. Even if I go to al-Jannah through the window, if somebody with a slingshot can just cast me, it doesn't matter. No. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq with the eyes, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I wonder, will there be any person who will be called upon from all the gates? The gate of al-Rayyan, the gate of al-Mutasaddiqeen, the gate of al-... He said, yeah. Yes, Ya Abu Bakr. And I hope that you will be one of them. You are the one! Look at the kind of competition. Life is not really worth it. Life is very short and brief. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ayyukum malu warithihi ahabbu ilayhi min mali." Who knows Arabic here? Who knows Arabic? You do. Is this yes or no, or in between? In between. Who knows Arabic very well? Good. Okay. I want to tell you one thing. Some of you have been in this country for 7 years. 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years. What's stopping you from learning Arabic? Is it because everybody speaks English? I know that some of the locals started speaking Urdu and speaking Farsi and so on. Arabic is not like any other language. It will enable me to understand the Quran. Those ahadith which I'm quoting, then interpreting, if you know to understand, if you know Arabic and you understand them in Arabic, there is no other language can interpret them properly. Such as this hadith right now. And by the way, it's easy. If you attend half hour every day, by the end of the year, you already know Arabic. Why? Not to speak to your boss or your employer, but to understand the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I met some guys in America. Somebody was a chemical engineer, born and raised in Saudi. Born and raised in Saudi. International schools, etc. So he doesn't know any Arabic. Whenever he says that, I'm born in this particular area, I cannot imagine that he doesn't understand in Arabic. He said, yeah, I know one word. He said, what is it? He said, shisha. It seems like you all know it. That's it. He doesn't know an Arabic word. What a shame. Why? English isn't my language. I learned English so that I would be able to give da'wah. Right? I guess I'm able to communicate with you. In a few years, I was able to speak the language. Don't you want to understand the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Huh? Right now, make a strong determination and intention that you really want to open the Quran, read it and understand it as is, without the translation of the meaning of the Quran. So now with the hadith of أَيُّكُمْ مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ. Can you translate it? أَيُّكُمْ مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ. We'll finish inshallah in a couple of minutes. I say it again. أَيُّكُمْ مَالُ وَارِثِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَالِهِ. Don't ask me again. Not again. You know, this is a very interesting rhetorical question. The Prophet ﷺ says, who likes his wealth to go to his ears more than enjoying his own wealth? This is like in a simple English. If you want to translate it literally, it says, who likes the wealth of his ears more than the wealth of himself? But it means, who likes to give his wealth to his inheritors, to his ears, better than keeping it with him. So everybody said, Ya Rasulullah, ma minna min ahadin illa wa maluhu ahabbu ilayhi min mali warithi. There is not a single one of us who would like to give his wealth to his ears. Rather, he would like to keep it for himself. They said, in fact, ma minkum min ahadin illa wa malu warithihi ahabbu ilayhi min mali. In fact, every one of you likes to give his wealth to his ears more than keeping it for himself. They said, how? They said, مَالُكَ مَا أَنْفَقْتْ. Your wealth is what you spend. That's yours. وَمَالُ وَارِثِكْ. And the wealth which you save for your ears is what you keep. Keep sitting in the bank. Saving, piling up. That's not, definitely that's not yours. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, they slaughtered a sheep. And when he returned, he let Aisha radiallahu anha distribute it. When he returned, he asked her, what did he do? She said, Ya Rasulullah, ذهب كلها ولم يبقى إلا الكتف. It's all gone. It's all gone, except for the shoulder, the كتف. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nope, نايا Aisha. Rather, it has been all saved, except for the كتف. The كتف which we're going to eat, the excrete that is gone. But the actual part is what we give in a charity. That's ours. That is our saving. If we look at the entire life likewise, things will be entirely different. We would not have poor people among the Muslim ummah. We would not have people who are dying out of hunger and thirst. Over a million people in tents while it's snowing and extremely cold. While people have money and do not know what to do with it. Why? Because they think what we have right now is ours and we gotta keep it and increase it. La. What you send forward, what you send forth is yours. That is your actual saving, basically investment. That's why you heard that Aisha radiallahu anha used to put itr on the sadaqah before giving it to the poor. And he used to say, welcome. She would welcome the beggar or the miskin and say, you came to carry my provision to Al-Jannah. You're not doing the poor a favor. Rather, the poor is doing you a favor. He's transporting your provision. He's carrying your zad to Al-Jannah. There are different means of spending fi sabilillah. The best is suqya al-ma, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is to give water. Back home, maybe, if Allah bless you with a house, you put a water fountain in front of your house. So the people who are passing by, the drivers, they will get off and drink from this water. This is a sadaqah jariya. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the hadith is collected by Imam Muslim, when the servant of Allah dies, all his deeds will come to an end, except from three ways. One of them is a continuous charity. You know, building a masjid, an orphanage, or madrasa for the tahfidh al-Qur'an, or teaching the religious knowledge, continuous charity. Printing the Qur'an and distributing it, continuous charity. And Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu narrated that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ بَنَى لِلَّهِ بَيْتًا بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَلَوْ كَمَفْحَصِ قَطَاعٍ. Very interesting hadith. Whoever builds a masjid, Allah will build a house for him in paradise. Deal. Not in Beverly Hills. Huh? In Al-Jannah. You build a masjid in this dunya, Allah will build a house for you in Al-Jannah. Somebody will say, ah, Shaykh, but who can build a house? We're poor. We're miskeen. No. Understand the hadith. وَلَوْ كَمَفْحَصِ قَطَى أَوْ أَقَلْ. Even if this masjid which you built in this dunya is as small as a bird's nest, or even smaller. A bird's nest is like this. Can anybody stand or make ruku' or sujood in a bird's nest? No. So how can we comprehend this hadith? I'll tell you. You saw somebody's building a masjid. They're raising funds for it. Take this 1 riyal. 1 riyal. This is what you can afford. 1 riyal. It is similar to building a whole masjid. Because your 1 riyal and your 10 riyal and your 10,000 riyal put together to build a masjid. So even if your participation, your sharing building a masjid was as little as building a bird's nest in that masjid, Allah will build a house for you in paradise. You see, even if you're faqir, you still have a chance to buy a ticket in heaven. Not only that, to have Allah build a house for you in Al-Jannah. I mean, there are many, many good deeds that we're missing, brothers and sisters. There are many things that we are negligent of, should be given the priority. Should be given the priority. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put in our concern and mind His love. And the love of things which He loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to be His true servants. And perceive this life as it should be. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. It is the joy of deception. It's exactly like holding onto water. Can you hold a grip over water? Can you? Air? No, you can't. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَنَوْضُعُ صَوْتِ أَحَدِكُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Wow. The whip which a camel rider may use to drive the camel, if it is placed on the carpet, this cable, how much space does it take? Nothing. He said, if you have that much space in Jannah, it will be better than the whole world of this life and what it contains. Better than all the continents, all the Rolls Royce, all the planes. When I hear about somebody who have made or they made for him a custom-made plane, 3 stories with an elevator, and it costs $2 billion or whatever, I say, so what? So what? Can it guarantee an extension in his life? Can it give him a moment extra? Can it cure him if he gets sick? Would that book him a place or a seat in heaven? No. What will book you a seat in heaven is your own work, hoping that Allah will accept it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man abta'a bihi 'amalu lam yusri' bihi nasabu." I'm not going to ask you for translation anymore, because I know you're going to ask me to repeat it over and over and over. Taib only, tell me, what does it mean? Man abta'a bihi 'amalu lam yusri' bihi nasabu. Don't ask me to repeat it. Aywa. You can call a friend if you want. Huh? Nah. Yeah.
Is deed left him behind? If the ancestors are his nasab, cannot move him back.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. One whose deeds weren't enough to make him catch up, to enter Al-Jannah, for instance, to occupy a place in heaven, to move forward, then his ancestors, his relationship, his family lineage, even if he was related to the Prophet ﷺ, would not do him any good. Why? Because Abu Lahab was the Prophet's uncle. صح. Would he be saved? Nope. Because he didn't do good deeds on his own. Rather, he disbelieved. So no one should brag about his family lineage or my father was a big sheikh and my grandfather. What about you? What do you do? Like, what do you do for a living? You don't say my father is a doctor. You say, what do you do for a living? I am such and such. So what do you do for yourself? Have you done enough good deeds? Yes. We have still a chance, brothers and sisters. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is the last hadith I want to share with you. سَبَقَ دِرْهَمٌ أَلْفَ دِرْهَمٌ. More than in what sense? If you say that in front of anybody, a dollar is more than $100,000 or $100,000, say you're crazy. What does it mean?
Spending.
Still, what does it mean?
One
dirham may surpass a reward, the charity of 100,000 dirham. How? If one person has, for instance, 2 dirhams, and he saw somebody starving and said, "Wallahi, I didn't eat dinner." He said, "Wallahi, I didn't eat dinner too. But you know what? Here, take this 1 dirham. I only have 2. Take 1 riyal and I take 1 riyal and we'll buy 2 sandwiches. Basically, this person donated what? 50% of his position. Sah? Half of his wealth. Somebody else wrote a check of $100,000 and his worth, mashallah, is 10, 20 million. It won't hurt him. So which one is greater? Percentage-wise, the 1 dirham, the 1 dinar, because that was all what he had or half of what he had. Ya'ani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to tell us, do not be left behind. Everyone has a chance. Everyone has a chance. اتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Avoid the fire of hell and protect yourselves against it, even by giving as little as a half date. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وجزاكم الله خيراً.